Okay,
Blog
mute you.
Talk
fuck.
Radio.
Hey! If any of you are looking for any last-minute gift ideas for me, I have one. I'd like Frank Shirley, my boss, right here tonight. I want him brought from his happy holiday slumber over there on Melody Lane with all the other rich people, and I want him brought right here with a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey he is. Hallelujah! Holy where's the Tylenol?
Are either of you going to talk?
Oh, that was the intro? I didn't know it was done.
Apparently my mic didn't want to mute. I was talking for about 30 seconds, had a whole thing going on, and my mic didn't unmute.
Well, that was an awesome intro. happy holidays, everyone.
Hey, today we're talking about Christmas movies.
Christmas, the best time of year unless you're a Jew.
That's racist.
What? No, what I meant was because they get the manure. Was it manure? They get manure. Is that what it is?
And you're still racist.
Menorah. That's what it is. No, I love Jewish people. They're great. I just got a new account. He's awesome. So we're here. We're celebrating Christmas, and I believe we're talking about the top 10 Christmas movies of all time.
Okay, I thought it was Christmas movies in general, but. We can do a top 10 list.
We're not going to subjugate it to a list. We're just going to talk about
because that's stupid and that's lame.
Yeah, because someone texted me earlier today and suggested a list, but whoever did that was a retard.
There you go with the name calling and mudslinging.
Mudslinging.
Yeah, it was
this week, unless Robert comes back from a mission.
No,
he's
big timing us.
Yeah, he's
Hoff Talk. Hoff Talk had a big show today.
Yeah. Robert will probably not be joining us unless he calls in, but we have our producer, the Dean of Credibility, Mr. Dean Dixon.
Some would call that an upgrade.
Then I think it's more of a level plane.
Yeah. I would have to agree, Dean. But I'm Justin Clayton.
I was doing the hand thing, the upgrade, the hand thing.
Oh, no. Yes.
The upgrade.
The ladder. Well, yes. Ladder to success.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Rung by rung, I'm going to get to the mediocre middle at some point.
I'll get there, baby. Take that title with me.
I'm not going to defend it for 8 months.
Stop it. Yeah, we could go on this topic, my friend. There's a legendary 4-hour phone call that will come out when the Watergate scandal breaks. So.
Hey, I don't mind. I'll do it again. Give me a bottle of rum. I'll do it again.
Anyway, let's get back to Christmas. Justin introduced himself. Who the hell are you?
Yeah, I was starting to introduce myself until Mr. Talkie Don Warren decided to step over me. I am Justin Clayton. Can be found on Twitter at AWSOM82. Don, you are?
I am Don Warren. You could find me at Donnie Warren, D-O-N-N-I-E Warren, W-A-R-R-E-N on Twitter. And on Facebook, you can find me at Don Warren, and sometimes you can find me at the local strip joint.
And why would anybody care since you don't check your Twitter?
Yeah.
No, you know, I cannot stand Twitter. I hate Twitter with a passion, and the only reason I tweet is because you guys tend to include me in your tweets, and I feel obligated that I have to say something, even though I think it's so pointless, and I could care less what anybody says on Twitter.
Great. Don feels obligated to be our friends.
No,
That makes me feel really good about myself.
I like you guys in person. I don't need to be your Twitter friends to reaffirm our friendship.
Well, I just sent you a tweet.
Of course you did. And I probably will look at it sometime next week.
Yep. And that's the Don Warren we all know and know. But moving on, Dean, if you would like to – did you introduce yourself yet?
I did not. I am, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D, and you can find me at Folsom County – and Wednesday nights here on this very network doing HIAC Talk Radio.
Which, might I add, is a great show.
I hear good things about it.
I heard you just had Dan Severn on?
No, we're getting him back. He will be back on January 8th.
Funny story, Dan Severn looks like the guy my mom used to have sex with. Just like him.
Perhaps you're... Mom's friend tried the rear naked choke a few times.
He might have. He was a big guy, too. His name was Victor, and he was from California. He looked just like him.
This is a very uncomfortable conversation. So how about that Christmas?
Ooh, yeah. Was Victor around during Christmas?
One Christmas he was. I was alone, but he was there. And my mom was there, and then I was upstairs alone.
Does this story end with you showing a therapist of some type where, you know, where Victor touched you?
Listen, okay, I showed my therapist in the Teddy Ruxkin doll, all right? and you know what? It was therapeutic for me. It helped me break down the walls and figure out why I'd like to start fires, you know? So it helped, and I became the person I am today.
I'm glad you shared that story, Don.
it makes
our friendship so much more complete.
Justin, the stories I've shared with you, well, let's not get into that. But anyway,
yeah.
So, yes, Merry Christmas, everyone. Ho, ho, ho. We are going to talk about the best Christmas movies of all time. This time of year, I mean, we get into the plethora of movies on every single channel. I mean, you know, after a while, I mean, it's kind of hard to appreciate them because you're so inundated with all these movies over and over. So you kind of – it's hard to step back and realize which ones are the good ones. But, you know, I think tonight we can come up with the best ones, at least to our recollection, and, you know, come up with a kind of good list, non-list.
That sounds like a good idea, Don. I just hate lists. I hate when you say, "Oh, well, this is better than this." It's stupid. It's all an opinion. You know what I mean? So why bother putting a list? Let's just talk about the greats.
Yeah, let's do it. Which I'll let you go first, Justin. Which one do you think? What do you want to start it off with?
Well, the idea came to talk about this subject today. As I was talking with my wife, she, for some reason, in her pea-sized woman brain, doesn't believe that Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Hmm.
And I was shocked because it is. Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
I think that's somewhat debatable, but...
Dean, do you have a pea-sized woman head?
I have been... We're not talking about me here, Justin. I'm playing devil's advocate here.
Dean may have the brain the size of a woman, depending on how this conversation rolls out. Because here's some facts, Dean. There's Christmas music. There's a Christmas hat. There's gifts. Someone plays Santa, and there's blood.
Hmm. That does have the elements of a Christmas movie.
Yes.
So what was all the reasons for it not being a Christmas movie?
It's called Die Hard.
Is that the only thing, though?
That was the definitive factor. It's called Die Hard.
So if it was called Jingle Die Hard or Jingle Hard or something. Actually, there's a fine film that you can find on YouPorn called Jingle Hard. But that's not what we're talking about currently.
No, we are talking about the movie Die Hard.
Not the point that I was going for.
Hans Gruber.
I'll be back in about 10 minutes.
Dean, you'll not go anywhere.
anyway. No, I can see both sides of the story. It is a very, let's call it a macho Christmas film.
Very macho Christmas film. That's my Alan Rickman.
No, I got that.
And I can't say Alan Rickman without doing the Alan Rickman voice.
I don't.
Well, how do you feel about this, Don?
I mean, here's my thing. I think Die Hard, it is a great movie overall, but I think if we're really being serious about Christmas movies, I think it's a great movie if you're a guy or you're a fan of Bruce Willis and you want to watch it during Christmas, it's entertaining. It's not a Christmas movie.
It's a heretic, Don.
It's not. And you know, it does have some elements that are Christmas-y, but it's not a Christmas movie.
It's not a love movie. It's a love story. It teaches a man about what he truly wants in life. It teaches a man that he should sacrifice everything in order to get what he wants in life. It's a Christmas story. Match it up against any other Christmas story, and it's got those elements. What's the greatest Christmas movie that you think defines Christmas movies?
Is this for both of us, the
greatest one? I mean, yeah. I think we were ranking them here. I mean, there's a lot of
What do you feel defines a Christmas movie?
Okay, well, I think you got to have an element of it's got to be an element of family. It's got to be It's got to be a tie-in with Christmas of some sort with the main theme, like getting presents or a storyline with Santa or
both of those are there.
No blood. I think that's really against the Christmas grain.
Well, wait a second. I think you're saying no blood, but one of the elements of probably the greatest Christmas film, at least in my opinion, and a great film overall, is It's a Wonderful Life. One of the themes of that is George Bailey's suicide, his impending suicide.
But do you see blood in the movie?
Yes, you do. When the old man smacks him on the ear and then smacks him around, he starts bleeding from his ear because he can't hear from his ear.
Yes, Mr. Gowers. There's some violence in that film. There's a theme of death throughout that film.
Absolutely.
Actually.
Okay, I'll give you that. But
you've convinced me.
Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Thank you, Dean.
It's perhaps the perennial Christmas film.
It's not a Christmas movie, because what's the overall theme to Die Hard? What's the overall theme?
Terrorists.
No. It's not terrorists. The overall theme of Die Hard is John McClane learning his love for his wife.
That's a love story.
So is It's a Wonderful Life.
No, but I said It's a Wonderful Life, but it has a huge Christmas feel because it's centered around Christmas time and it's centered around Christmas Day.
Don, Die Hard takes place at a Christmas party in Nakatomi Plaza on Christmas Eve.
But you're missing. It's not centered around that.
Yes, it is.
No, that's just an abstract thing that's happening at the time, but it's not really the plot. It could have happened during 4th of July. It wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't have changed the plot.
True. So you're telling me that even though in It's a Wonderful Life, the story happens during the summer, the story happens during pre- and post-World War II, story happens well before, there was a winter scene. The story happens throughout this guy's entire life. It's centered around Christmas.
As a Christmas theme. I'm not saying that's the one main story it has to be, but it has to be like a Christmas theme. Die Hard doesn't have that.
Yes, it does.
No, it's happening during Christmas.
How could you say Die Hard does not have a Christmas theme?
Because it's a Christmas plot. I'm sorry. Let me reword the Christmas plot.
So, because it happens, I mean, Dean would know better because, you know, I don't know.
Don't.
Even though it happens on Christmas Eve, that's not, which is a central part of the plot, that's not a Christmas plot?
No, because it could have happened on July 4th. It could have happened on Martin Luther King Day, and it wouldn't have made a difference to the plot.
But it wouldn't have made a difference to the plot, and It's a Wonderful Life, whether Christmas was involved or not.
That's true, too. The fact that George Bailey was going to commit suicide on Christmas Eve, he could have made that decision on his birthday, on his whenever.
Yeah,
he could have had his lowest moment.
I don't think the movie would have had much feeling, and I don't think it would have been the same had it been on his birthday.
Much like Die Hard would not have had as much feeling if it would have been on 4th of July. Look at Die Hard 4, Independence Day, or whatever it was called. It was terrible. Nobody liked it.
Listen, but it wouldn't have mattered. That movie would have still came out if that happened on February 3rd. It wouldn't have mattered. That's the point. Now, if you were to take the Christmas element out of Die Hard,
why would John McClane visit his estranged wife on February 3rd?
Could have been their anniversary, like Falling Down.
If you take the date out of
that, then it would have been an anniversary movie.
If you take the date out of that movie and place it anywhere else, it wouldn't matter. It would still be a good movie. If you take the date out of It's a Wonderful Life and put it on February 3rd, it would lose a lot of the same meaning.
It would lose nothing because the story is about George Bailey's redemption and him learning that life is worth living.
Yeah, but doing that on Christmas as a new beginning, a rebirth, that gave it a lot more meaning than having it happen on February 3rd.
No, because it happened to land around that time. Dude, that was a stressful time of the year for anybody. So that's why that all built into it. It could have been done at any time.
All right, guys.
Yeah.
Come up with a decision. Is it a Christmas movie?
Yes.
No.
I guess I'm going to be the tiebreaker. I will grudgingly accept that it is, in fact, a Christmas film.
Oh,
thank you, Dean.
Over.
Using the Don Warren scale of Christmas movies, I am saying it is a Christmas movie. Christmas is involved in the central plot. There are Christmas themes, i.e. songs, gifts, Christmas colors and decorations. There are loved ones that are either lost or longed for, and at the end, it all ties up with a happy ending. And there's Christmas songs.
Like I was going to say, I mean, there are movies that are not conventional Christmas movies or maybe adult more movies that are considered Christmas movies. I still don't think it is, but we'll move on. One of the movies that I'm talking about that I love that many people may not think is a traditional Christmas movie is Bad Santa.
Oh, that's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, that's a Christmas movie.
No, I know. It's not a traditional.
Anybody that says it's not is stupid.
No. I'm not thinking people will disagree it's a Christmas movie. I think people will disagree it's a traditional Christmas movie.
Yeah, no, it's not a traditional Christmas movie.
Die
Hard's not a traditional Christmas movie, but it's a Christmas movie.
But it's not a Christmas movie!
We already decided 2-1 that it is.
Hey, I'm still, you know, my appeal's up there, and, you know, it's everybody can see it. So I want my ejection to be noted in the record.
And at 11:12 a.m. when I spoke with Robert, he said, of course it is. It begins and ends with Christmas music.
This coming from a guy who talks to his car, okay? Anyway, so like I was saying, Bad Santa. I think that's a great movie. You know, going away from the traditional kitty, like, oh, let's all hang out and love each other and put our Christmas trees, whatever. I love that movie when it came out. That was one of the first movies that I saw that was an adult Christmas movie that was enjoyable for adults and not really as much for children because I don't know if all kids should be watching that movie. But
No.
How are we going
with starring in the movie should have watched that movie.
Yeah. Are we going with more non-traditional fare right now? Is that what we're discussing?
If you have a non-traditional movie that you'd like to bring up, of course.
Gremlins.
Yes. Gremlins is a Christmas movie.
I'll give you that.
Very non-traditional, but of course, what was his name, the little guy?
Oh,
Gizmo.
Yes, Gizmo was, in fact, a Christmas gift. That's
Mogwai.
This is where I was going to call him Mogwai, but I knew he had a name. But this is where it all started.
Started as a gift.
Yeah, and that was, that was a great movie. More of a Christmas movie than Die Hard, but I'll give you that. That's another good one.
And it's actually the birth of the PG-13 rating.
Oh,
is that really?
Nice little fun fact.
Yeah, the reason being is it was rated PG on its first run, and a lot of people went out thinking it wasn't because it was marketed as a Christmas film, a good family Christmas film. And I was one of the families that was taken to this film and horrified by what went on in that film.
That's not exactly a wholesome family film for Christmas.
I can remember when the gremlins were attacking the mother, and the mother suffers injuries after this attack, and my mom just turns to me and she goes, "I don't know what Steven Spielberg has to do with this, but he should be ashamed." And it was the funniest thing that ever happened to me in the movies with my mom. It could be the last time I went to the movies with my mom.
That needs to be recreated.
It was the greatest thing ever.
I don't know what Steven Spielberg was thinking, but he needs to be ashamed.
The funniest thing is he was only an executive producer for the film. Joe Dante was actually the director of the film. So
yeah, I mean, Spielberg probably just threw money at it and went, "All right, I hope it makes money."
And it did. It's a great film. I mean, when you look back at it, it's a fun, great film. The sequel, we can't say the same for. But moving on, I know you had a question. I just wanted to continue.
So Justin, what about? Can you think of any non-traditional Christmas movies
besides Die Hard? Die Hard 2.
Stop it! Just stop it. Any non-traditional Christmas movies that don't involve the Die Hard trilogy or series. I'm sorry, the Die Hard series.
Well, only the first two are Christmas movies, but
Nightmare Before Christmas?
Yeah.
Would you consider that?
I don't see that's borderline. I do and I don't. Like, because I can watch that at Halloween or I can watch it at Christmas. So it's kind of like
it's a Christmas movie. It has Christmas in the title. By default, Christmas movie.
Well, there you go. Don said it's a Christmas movie, and
by
Don
default,
Don was so right about Die Hard.
It has Christmas in the title. It's a Christmas movie. Even if you were watching a porn that had Christmas in the title, it's a porn. It's a Christmas movie. Maybe not everybody should watch it. Maybe not everybody should watch it, but it's still a Christmas movie.
Okay, fair enough. So yeah, okay, A Nightmare Before Christmas. I think that's definitely a Christmas movie. Let my children watch it and hope that they don't have nightmares. Or I would watch it and hope they have nightmares.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that movie very scary, but I have to. It's a Christmas movie. I mean, it's a Christmas movie.
So what's going on with your connection?
Sorry, I dropped my thing and just picked it up. Is it better?
Barely. Yeah, you keep cutting in and out.
Oh, I'm not moving anything. I'm staying right here. Maybe it's just I got this Mac. It's horrible. It's just this Apple machine is just horrible. It keeps cutting out. Apples are horrible to begin with, but sorry.
That was pointless and added no value to the show anyway. So
a good one
that people enjoy to watch every year is A Christmas Story.
Yes. I agree.
And on my way into work today, I heard on the local Christmas radio station where they do 24 hours all the time Christmas music, there was they had Peter Billingsley on.
Okay.
And he sounded so tired and depressed of doing the Christmas circuit. I really felt bad for the guy. They were asking him a question. They were like, oh, so, and you know how all these 24-hour Christmas DJs, they're all so happy to be at work. They just love their lives, like, no, as if nobody in the world goes to work wanting to, you know, choke their boss or whatever. Not that I want to choke my boss, but they're all the happiest people in the world. And they're like, so, Peter Billingsley, how do you feel being Ralphie? And he's kind of just like, just kind of happened.
Went to an audition.
We didn't think it was going to be that big, but it's a huge movie. Yeah. Scott Farkas. Woo.
I got another one for you, non-traditional, that I think is a Christmas movie. Reindeer Games.
Hmm.
What's your guys' thought on that?
Isn't that a Nicolas Cage movie?
I think it's Ben Affleck, isn't it?
Ben Affleck, yeah.
Is that about a bank heist?
No, that one, if I'm not mistaken.
Wasn't it Bass and Bank Heist, was it?
No, that one I think is Own the Night or something.
Oh, no, The Town. Hey, Brian, it's The Town. Ben Affleck with his fake Boston accent, even though he's from Boston. I hate it. Ben Affleck fakes his stupid... he fakes his stupid Boston accent, even though he's from Boston.
Ben Affleck. Yeah, that's a casino heist. The Ben Affleck and... I know. Gary Sinise was in it. Ben Affleck.
Gary Sinise was in it. It's got to be good.
Charlize Theron was in it. So, I mean, it was a bunch of guys, basically, and I'll just... Ron Jeremy was in it. Okay. I didn't realize that. I forgot Danny Trejo. Yeah, basically, I'll read what they say on IMDb. After assuming his dead cellmate's identity to get his girlfriend, an ex-con finds himself the reluctant participant to a casino heist. I saw it a long time ago. I enjoyed it. But it's all centered around Christmas, plus it's called Reindeer Games, which has a Christmas feel to it. I guess the reindeer name. So I didn't know what you guys thought about it. I didn't realize you guys had never seen it. So
you could have stopped your argument at Gary Sinise. Yes, Christmas movie.
What about this one? Here's another one. Trading Places.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
That's another one I was thinking about. I really like that one. Haven't seen that one. That is a Christmas feel and has a good story. And that's a wholesome. That's a family movie. I mean, you could take your children to see that. Not really good.
No. You're saying?
I was saying it's not that bad of a movie. It's not like a bad Santa or anything where you would have to shield your children's eyes from some of the parts.
Hmm.
Well, what about Christmas horror films? That's a genre all to itself.
What, like Santa's Sleigh with Bill Goldberg?
Yes. Well, that's one. There's Black Christmas, Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Wasn't there a Leprechaun? On Christmas or something? What was it? One of the Leprechaun movies. It was like Christmas or Leprechaun Scary Christmas or something like that. No? Okay. Whatever.
There was a Leprechaun in the Hood.
Oh, I know. I went to that Hood. You know they're coming out with a new Leprechaun?
Huh.
The Hornswoggle? Leprechaun?
Yeah, it's supposed to star the WWE guy, Hornswoggle.
That is a Christmas movie. There's this film.
Hey, I knew.
A P2 is, they consider it on Google as a Christmas movie. Have either of you seen this fine film, P2?
No.
P2.
Is it anything like Richard Pryor's The Toy?
No. Basically, this woman gets locked in to her building. She's working Christmas Eve, and she gets locked into her building. Let me just see. The plot revolves around Angela, a young businesswoman who is imprisoned on Christmas Eve in the parking garage beneath the downtown Manhattan.
Oh,
office.
Yeah, I remember. I remember that. I didn't see it, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, very, very good film. If you have a chance to check, I know it's on Netflix. That's where.
And she's pursued by a psychopath.
Yeah, who happens to be the guard. And the kid from, what movie was that? American Beauty. The kid who found beauty in everyday life, including...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the trash bag and the wind and everything.
Yeah. That jerk. Go back to listen to Nine Inch Nails.
Hey, I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with listening to Nine Inch Nails.
No, dude, I was just a
were
nice
you being
little,
facetious?
I was a soft jab at you, just as a joke. I like Nine Inch Nails, but I had to throw that in there.
Okay. I guess that's for our Hasselhoff talk earlier.
Could be.
Getting me back there, huh? Well, I think right now, Justin, would be a good time to have the Christmas sounds of the Mystery Men.
That sounds about good.
So we'll play them, and we'll try to get Donnie back, who has taken an unconventional break a half hour into the show.
That's convenient.
Isn't it, though? So we're going to try to do a couple things. We'll be right back after This Is How the Magic Happens by the Mystery Men, and we'll be right back. right, that was the Mystery Men with This Is How the Magic Happens here on Moose Knuckle Radio. And you can find out more about them with a little trip to lucha-rock.com. The album is available for download, $9. And Donnie, take it away.
All
and
right.
He can't.
Welcome back. And
I found...
What do you mean? I found
on totalfilm.com,
yeah,
since you like lists so much, the top 50 Christmas movies, and Die Hard is on that list.
Well, they're retarded. Die Hard's not a Christmas movie. And I'm standing firm on that.
Die Hard is actually high up on that list. It's a Wonderful Life got number one, the best Christmas movie. Easy. Die Hard got number two.
Really? Number two?
With Lethal Weapon as a Christmas movie.
Lethal Weapon was actually on there.
I believe it. Which doesn't surprise me at all, but, everybody's got their opinion, I guess, and that's why us minds come together, because maybe if someone's not right, the other two maybe are, but, you know, I'm still not...
Lethal Weapon got 14 on the list.
Are any of the horror films on there?
Yeah, let me see. I'll have to go through this again, but one of Dean and I's all-time favorite movies that most people have never seen, though they should find a copy, whether it's VHS. It is on DVD. I owned it on DVD. Or digital, if you can find it on digital, is Brazil. That's on the list.
Wow.
Brazil.
Interesting list.
Yeah. It takes place during Christmas, so they put that on there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the qualifications. Has to take place during Christmas.
Yes. Which is why Die Hard and Die Hard 2 are on the list.
I said one of the qualifications, but there's another one that I'm looking at now that I forgot this took place during Christmas. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it. Go.
Really?
Yes.
It did take place during Christmas.
It did.
That's a fine
that
film, too.
Great movie.
For a blatant Tarantino ripoff, it's very well done.
Well, I'm a fan of Timothy Oliphant. I mean, I love... I don't know.
The fake Josh Duhamel?
What's that?
The fake Josh Duhamel?
Yes, that's exactly him. I love him on Justified, so... I've always been a big fan of his, so, but I love that movie anyway. So what other ones we got? What other ones are on that list, Justin? Ones that we maybe people wouldn't expect?
Well, we mentioned Trading Places. We mentioned A Christmas Story. Let's see, what else is on the list? I don't know if we were saving this for the last 10 minutes of the show, but this movie we could talk about for an entire hour. But National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I honestly think it's not a better movie than It's a Wonderful Life, but I think it's a better Christmas movie than It's a Wonderful Life. And I say that because that movie, growing up watching it, getting older and watching it, it's what like a suburban family's Christmas is. And that's why it resonated so much with me, is that that's what Christmas was, you know, just the craziness going on, the kind of one-upping between the brother and brother-in-law, the kids, are trapped in the middle of the whole thing. That's how it was for me growing up with Christmas.
Well, yeah, it's a very relatable movie. I mean, that, you know, I think everybody who watched it had parts of that movie that happened in their real life. You know, I could see, you know, my uncle or my grandfather running around like crazy and having all those things happen and nothing going right at all during, I mean, heck, that happens every year now.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, that movie was definitely relatable. And that's something, you know, you could sit down once again with the whole family, which I think is a very important factor to a good Christmas movie, is to be able to have an enjoyable film that everybody, the whole family, can watch.
And,
not saying movies that you can't, but I'm saying for a good one, I believe it's got to be a – I think to have be a good one, it's got to be a family movie.
Okay.
I mean, there's some movies out there that, like, adults can enjoy, but I think for overall, if you're going to rank – if you were –
Yeah, if you're going to have the family over and you're going to put that in and that's going to be playing in the background, it has to be something like National Lampoon's or, you know, It's a Wonderful Life or Christmas Story, something like that.
Home Alone.
What about here's another one, Elf.
I absolutely love Elf.
I love Elf, too. Well, I like Will Ferrell. I love him.
Yeah.
I think that movie's great.
You're not too fond, are you?
What, of Elf?
No, Will Ferrell.
I love Will Ferrell.
Oh, I thought for some reason I thought you didn't like him.
No, I love Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell's an amazing comedic genius.
Yes.
I'm not a fan of Anchorman. Maybe that's where you got the...
I'm blown away by that, Dean.
Not a fan of Anchorman.
That's a whole conversation for another
day. Have you only seen that movie once?
You know what it is.
It's
not necessarily the film itself. It's all the jerks out there that think they're Ron Burgundy that have ruined it for me.
Yeah.
All the people that think they're as funny or they do the impersonation that have ruined that film for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I still think it's a good movie. I don't think the jerks take away from the movie itself. I mean,
oh, terrible! You know,
it's just like after Ace Ventura came out, when everybody was doing everything fine from Ace Ventura.
Those people ruined Ace Ventura.
Mm-hmm.
I remember sitting through the second one, not laughing at all, thinking this is so stupid because I've seen everybody at that point. I was in school. I saw everybody at school doing the thing and doing the Jim Carrey act. I watched it a couple of years later, and I'm dying. I'm rolling on the floor laughing because it's Jim Carrey being Jim Carrey when he was hilarious before he became a great dramatic actor.
Yeah, I got another one for you guys that I liked as a kid. I liked the whole series when I was a kid, but Ernest Saves Christmas.
Yes. I can't believe that's not on the list.
I love that movie. I like the whole Ernest series, but I did like that one too. Because that's another one that's kind of like the National Lampoon, where just everything's going. I mean, they went a little over the top, but I mean, it's still the same chaotic, crazy stuff that's going on.
I haven't seen that in so long. I can't factor an opinion.
I mean, Jim Varney just. That character he created was just brilliant.
Well, that's just like the guy, Paul Hogan, who did Crocodile Dundee. The character he created was amazing. He'll probably never be famous for anything else, but the character he created was amazing.
Well, I mean, he didn't really create Crocodile Dundee, did he?
Well, the way he did it, I mean. The way he made it come to life.
Yeah. Yeah, he brought it to life.
Speaking of the Hogan...
Hold on. I look up Jim Varney on IMDb. When you think of Jim Varney, what do you think of?
Ernest.
Yeah.
Well, apparently IMDb thinks of Toy Story, Toy Story 2, Ernest Goes to Camp, then Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh, my God. He was in all of those.
He was in Toy Story?
Yeah, he was the voice of, was it the pig?
No.
Which one was it? What toy? He was one of the toys.
No, the pig was the guy from Cheers.
Yeah.
All right, so the dinosaur maybe?
No, that was, I forget his name.
Well, Slinky Dog?
Yeah.
The Slinky.
Yeah, he was a Slinky Dog, because Slinky Dog wasn't in the third one.
Yeah, okay. I knew it was one of them. I knew I'd narrow it down. I'm like, wait a minute.
Right there on IMDb, Jim Varney, Slinky Dog.
Well, most likely that's the highest rated films he was in.
Yeah.
That's why it was rated.
I know it's all generated through some algorithm that they have in there, but it's still funny that when you say Jim Varney, anybody that knows Jim Varney instantly says Ernest.
Look up Bob Denver. I'm just curious on IMDb. See what comes up for Bob.
While you're looking that up, I got one.
Like you guys are personal good chums. Gilligan's Island is the first that comes up.
Excellent. Go ahead.
Yeah. Why wouldn't it be?
Well, I don't. Anyway, Don. I was just curious. I was mildly curious.
I got a Christmas gem for you. One that I'm sure will go down with the ages. Is one of the best Christmas movies ever. Santa with Muscles. Hulk Hogan's? Come on. Hulk Hogan's movie?
Well, I never pieced it together that Alan Hale was in Hang 'Em High.
No, I was just saying, that is a Christmas movie. I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen the movie. But oh, I got one for you. Friday After Next.
Is that a Christmas movie?
Yes.
No. Friday After Next isn't a Christmas movie. It was called, like, Christmas Friday or something.
No, Friday After Next. Look it up.
I thought it was called Christmas Friday.
Friday After Next.
And why am I looking at it? Why don't you just send me the link?
It was Friday, next Friday, and then Friday After Next.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Santa's in the Hood.
That's another one. Now, neglecting to talk about the ones that you see most often now, and the ones I'm sure we all grew up on, is those...
Tyler Perry's Meet the Santa?
No, we didn't grow up on that.
Oh.
What are they? Stop motion, clay motion, the claymation?
Claymation.
Claymation. Oh, Rudolph and such.
Yeah.
Rudolph and...
you want to be a dentist.
What's that?
Yeah, you want to be a dentist.
Oh.
I know for me, I grew up watching, like, every year. That was a staple in our family. We watched
absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, I look forward to them when they came on ABC or wherever they came on, and they still play them every year, and it's cool to see that through all the years that those ones still, you know, stand the test of time.
Yeah, I ended up buying them so I can, you know, put them on at any time, but those are the staples that stand the test of time, because, you know, now I know he's young, but even my son, he'll sit there and just, you know, stare at them and watch them and love them.
Yeah, and he'll grow up loving them too as he gets older and older. You know, he'll grow up loving them, and I always did too. And that's how you knew all the songs. And you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. Looking at them now, they are some scary looking things.
Yeah.
But
why the heat miser and cold miser didn't give me nightmares before Christmas, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they're, you know, but yeah, they were really good ones. I love them. You know, I loved all them movies, you know, when I grew up. I mean, we would sit around, the whole family. It was a thing we did every year. It didn't matter, you know, whatever it was. We looked forward to it. We had a nice big dinner, and then we'd sit down. And I think when I was a kid, they used to air them on Christmas Eve. And we would watch them on Christmas Eve. Right after dinner, we would all sit and watch. And then after they were done, we'd open up a gift. And, you know, that was like the real Christmas, you know, feel.
I just sent you a link. There's on YouTube, there's this channel called Djibouti Dubs. And what they do, they take, it's typically infomercials. Billy Mays was their biggest craze until he passed away. But
Coke.
They do all these different dubs, and they did a Rudolph dub. And it's the best thing ever. When you have a chance after the show, I'm going to put it up on the Twitter and everything. Go ahead and retweet it. But it's so funny.
Is that like the bad lip syncing thing?
In a way, yes. But they actually, Justin's listening to it right now. You can hear it in the background. But
it's red-nosed reindeer. Now that just doesn't make sense. Let me try to explain. Okay, picture a reindeer. Okay, you got it. Now, picture one of those with a red nose that glows. Mm-hmm. Still doesn't make sense to you? Well, it doesn't quite make sense to me either. Let's try to think about this. Now, bioluminescence is a...
that's something I can get into.
It's the funniest thing ever. And the way that they do the snowman in that is... it's good. So that's one of my favorite Christmas films now. It's very irreverent. It's very funny.
That 10-minute video?
Yes. The Djibouti dub, Rudolph, is amazing.
What about the Muppets one? Was it the Christmas Carol?
Yeah. Yeah, Muppets, that's brilliant.
What about that's Mickey's Christmas Carol?
Well, which Mickey are you talking about? There's Once Upon a Christmas, Twice Upon a Christmas, Mickey's Christmas Stories. I know them all.
You have a kid. That's
right. Yes. I cheat.
Yeah.
Since we're going to the toys and characters one, what about Charlie Brown Christmas?
Yeah, that's a timeless classic.
Yeah. That one, and how old is that one? That one was made 60.
Oof. I gotta look that up.
You know, before the days of when Victor came over, she used to watch that as a kid. So, yeah.
Before Victor started hustling in your neighborhood?
Yep, before he started.
1965.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another one that's, you know, a timeless classic. I mean, you know, all those ones, and it's cool. Those ones, you know, bring even if you're having the a shitty holiday or whatever, you start watching them, and I don't know, something happens. You start feeling good about things, and maybe you can make it in life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not true, but you know. Then I know, and I know what's his name went on a little binge of making Christmas movies for a while. Tim Allen. You know.
Yeah, he was making those shitty Santa movies.
And he did the Christmas with the Cranks, and he did a couple of it, and they weren't that bad. I mean, the Santa Claus wasn't that bad for a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
You know, they were. I like it when nowadays, when you see a new movie that comes out that you know, like, wow, this one's going to be around for a while as a Christmas movie, you know? And movies like that, when I was a kid, I know they redid the Miracle on 34th Street. And
yeah.
They did it with, I forget who they did it with, for the life of me. But I like that. It was done really well, and that's one that, you know, people will watch for a long time.
Another one, and I don't know how Dean feels about this guy, because I know some people have very strong feelings. They're very anti-Dennis Leary, but The Ref, it's a Christmas movie.
The Ref is. I haven't seen that. That's another one I haven't seen in quite some time. But no, I love Dennis Leary.
I know a lot of people have big problems with Dennis Leary because of Bill Hicks and yada yada yada. All the he stole Bill Hicks' material and this, that, and the other.
See, here's Leary. I knew long before there was even a Bill Hicks. You tell me who Bill Hicks is. I couldn't picture him.
Well, Bill Hicks never really picked up. He wasn't, from what people say, I wasn't into the comedy scene in the, you know, 80s, 90s, whatever this was going on, but they kind of were around the same time, and they traveled the same clubs, whatnot. Story goes, Hicks was doing acts. Leary was taking that material, ripping it, and going to other places, doing the same act. He was a lot more willing to take, like, sign contracts and stuff. Some people say sell out, whatever. But Leary was more willing to do the big gigs, where Bill Hicks was more, you know, fuck the man, you know, screw it, you know, we need to, you know, keep things. Kind of, you know what I mean? Like small, you know what I mean? So now Leary gets huge. Everybody knows who Leary is, and he's doing Bill Hicks' act, and Bill Hicks gets cancer and dies. That's kind of a very loose version of the story.
Bill Hicks is dead?
Oh, yeah. Bill Hicks has been dead for years.
I have. Never knew.
Yeah, He died a long, long time ago.
Wow.
Huh.
It's kind of like Robin Williams, though. People said the same thing about Robin Williams for years, that he stole bits and pieces of other people's acts. But you know what? We've seen it in wrestling, and everything kind of goes back to wrestling, considering our backgrounds. But
yeah,
there's people that can do an act, but there's people that can do it better. How many Undertakers are there on the independent scene?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. How many Kanes are on the independent scene?
But are you thinking of Bill Engvall? Because he's not dead. And Dennis Leary didn't steal Bill Engvall's act.
I don't know who Bill Hicks is. I think Dan's into him. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, Dan's big into him.
I have no idea.
I thought you guys both were. Like, Dan, if I bring up Dennis Leary, I'm sure he'll want to choke me through the phone.
No, he loves Dennis Leary because he did that Firehouse thing, the Rescue Me.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, he could probably, if Dan's listening and he call in, he might be able to explain the story better. But it's, there's, I know there's a lot of guys that hate Dennis Leary because they say he stole the Bill Hicks Act, not the Bill Engvall Act, but the Bill Hicks Act.
I'm trying to see did Suicide Kings take place on Christmas?
I don't know.
Oh, I want to say, I know it was wintertime.
It was winter, and it was in New York, and it was...
That's with the great Christopher Walken.
Yes. And the only thing I get is that a group of youngsters kidnapped a respected mafia figure from IMDb, so that doesn't really help. But I was there to find, because he said Dennis Leary, and I was like, oh, he was really good in Suicide Kings, but I couldn't remember the name of it. So now I'm doing the search for Suicide Kings. Go ahead, continue.
No, it doesn't look like it takes place during Christmas.
I, you know what? Just because there was snow on the ground, it's a Christmas film.
Yeah, Suicide Kings, Christmas film. And
all right.
And another Christmas film?
Wait, what's the one where Billy Bob Thornton was a
bad Santa?
No, he was he was the dumb brother, Bill Paxton's dumb brother. They found money.
Oh, I don't know, because Bill Paxton was in it.
No, it's a great movie. It's actually a really good movie. The airliner.
No, that was Bruce Willis.
No, Bruce Willis wasn't in that.
Yeah, that was the three of them. It was with the girl.
You're thinking of a different movie. I'm thinking of. Now I got to look up Bill Paxton on.
Oh my god.
I'm surprised I didn't get him confused with the guy from Independence Day. Let's see. No, go ahead, talk.
I'm still like in shock that you said Bill Paxton was in a good movie.
It was a Simple Plan.
Yeah,
A Simple Plan. He was Hank, and it was the three brothers, and Billy Bob Thornton was like the stupid, kind of dumb brother. Oh, did that take? I know it took place during winter, but. Keep money, no one claims it, blah, blah, blah. Nah, it doesn't look like it is, but that's a fine movie. If you haven't seen A Simple Plan, it's good. And come on, Bill Paxton was in Aliens.
Yeah, and he made almost every scene he was in unbearable.
What are you talking about?
Hey, man, they're coming to get us, man.
Like, you wouldn't react like that.
No. I'd react like Bruce Willis, and I'd kill me some fucking aliens.
Oh, come on. You couldn't under those circumstances. These are bipedal aliens that have acid for blood, and your first reaction would be like the guy from Terminator.
Yeah. How do you think Michael Biehn reacted? Michael Biehn looked at him and fucked shit up.
Okay, that's not my point here, what he did, but through Bill Paxton, that is you as the viewer, you are Bill Paxton.
No, I'm Michael Biehn.
Well, I'm Bill Paxton.
I wanted to be Michael Biehn growing up because he got Sarah Connor.
Did he go, well, yeah, but did he go, but did he go out as a hero?
As a child, before I knew what a man crush was, I had a man crush on Michael Biehn because he got Sarah Connor.
But did he not go out like a hero in Aliens?
Dude, I used to try and find a trench coat as a kid so I could walk around like Michael Biehn from Terminator.
I bet you did. You're neglecting the question.
I'm 100% serious. I wanted to be Michael Biehn as a kid.
You're avoiding the question.
What was the question? How awesome is Michael Biehn? Very.
No, no. Didn't Bill Paxton in Aliens go out as a hero?
Honestly, I can't remember. I just remember him complaining the whole time and Michael Biehn being tired of him and then shooting him for being a pussy.
Shoot him. Stop it. That's sacrilege. He's the greatest character in that film, besides Sigourney Weaver.
No, he is not. Michael Biehn is.
Oh, what did he do? All he did was get his eye shot out or something and dies in the first 5 minutes of the next movie.
Yeah, because he was too good for two movies.
What's he done? What's he done since Aliens?
He was in Blood Dragon.
And?
It was the 2013 DLC of the year.
Okay. That's it?
I wish I had those Price of Right horns.
So, what, since Alien, or since Aliens, he was in The Abyss, he was in The Rock.
Oh, The Abyss is horrible. The Rock is good.
Rock's not bad.
Is The Rock
see.
A Christmas movie?
No.
No, I don't think so.
He was in Planet Terror. He was in Grindhouse.
Was he in Planet Terror?
Yeah. I think he was the bad guy. Besides the zombies. I think he was the strip club owner or something.
I don't like Planet Terror. But I feel we've gotten away
no,
from
he was
art.
No, he was the sheriff. He was the sheriff.
Yes, he was the brother of the protagonist.
Yeah, the sheriff.
Yes. So, okay, he has been in some fairly good films since then. I was being facetious anyway.
And he was also in the 1997 blockbuster Asteroid, which is not in any way a ripoff of Armageddon.
Of course not. It's about an asteroid. The other one's about a meteor. No, it's not. It's also about an asteroid. Well, with that being said, I think we came up with a pretty good list of Christmas movies.
Yeah, I think we did. It was a random hodgepodge of movies that we just kind of spoke about in no real order, but I think we did a good job.
Ideas on what they should go watch this year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like if you had, what is the film that you fall back on? I think that's the best way to wrap it up. The film that you say, this is on Christmas Day when you have a house filled with family and friends, what movie do you put on?
Well.
And why?
A Christmas Story is always on TBS on Christmas. So that's you see on at some point. You could turn that on at any point and know exactly where it is and what's going to happen and what just happened. Because you've seen it 19 million times. A movie that I like to watch at least once a year before Christmas is It's a Wonderful Life.
Very good.
Has a very, like, I grew up watching that movie. My parents loved it. They shared it with me, you know, had us watching it all the time, and it was just something that really stuck with me. Like I said, National Lampoon's is more in tune with my Christmas experience, but it's not doesn't have that ingrained feel because I kind of got into that later on. Like I've been watching Christmas Story since I was maybe three, It's a Wonderful Life since I was maybe three, and Christmas Story didn't come along until I was like six or seven. So
true. Christmas Story actually bombed at the box office. Yeah. It was not a big big film. It bombed. It was only once it got into syndication, kind of like It's a Wonderful Life. It's a Wonderful Life bombed.
Yeah, it did horrible.
In the theaters. My favorite scene in It's a Wonderful Life was when they're dancing and the pool opens beneath them. That's Alfalfa, the guy who opens that pull up. Did you know that? That's Alfalfa, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Little trivia. Next time you watch It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, that is him.
Yeah, that was Alfalfa, the little prankster that opens up the pool.
Hey, you want to get it, George? Meh. I've got the key.
Now, for me, I got to go with It's a Wonderful Life. I think that's the perennial film. It's a very good film. Stands up on its own anyway.
Harry!
But Bad Santa is my favorite.
Bad Santa is a good one. I think mine would be Miracle on 34th Street.
Really? We didn't even talk about that. Now, why Miracle?
I just like it. I mean, it's a great story, you know. It's a great story, and it's uplifting, and I think, you know, for Christmas, I mean, it's the perfect movie. You know, it's the perfect movie to come out, and you watch, and, you know, by the end of it, you know, you're already in a good mood, hopefully, when you start watching it. If you're not, by the end of it, you just feel great, and you feel good about life, and, you know, you just, I don't know, you have a better – I like movies where you feel better at the end than you did in the beginning. I think that's one of those movies.
That
Don has always secretly wished to be a young girl searching for the whether or not Santa actually existed.
I am a young girl. What do you know?
It's all about what's on the inside.
Yes.
Yeah. Doctors can fix anything. So with that being said, I think it's about time for us to sign off. And are we doing a Christmas week show? When's our next show?
It should be Christmas Eve.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll probably be a preloaded one.
We can do that.
Probably be a preloaded deal.
You don't want to get bombed and do a show on Christmas Eve?
No, because I'm going to have to be putting toys together.
You don't want to get bombed and put toys together while doing a show on Christmas Eve?
That's a lot of things at once.
I'm up for spiking the eggnog and, you know, putting on the old log.
Hey, I'm down. Maybe me and Dean will do a show and Justin can put toys together.
Yeah.
Who knows? We'll figure it out.
Yes.
We'll figure it out.
Let everybody know.
Do Christmas music. Who knows?
Yeah.
The next day is actually where we're going to be awarding the second annual Sellies. Wow.
What am I up?
Yeah. Are we up for anything?
No, because you just started this year.
So why aren't we up for anything? We should be up for something. Even though we're only a few months in, we're amazing and we're better than everything else. So why aren't we up for something?
I apologize.
Because of that attitude right there, Don.
It did not get past the editorial staff. You know, the two top vote getters in interview of the year are Chrissy Rivera right now, of course, from CZW, and the Reverend Bob Levy. So
that's a tough one.
It's very close.
That's a tough call.
And
I'm sure somewhere on there somehow, and only I don't know who threw this up there, but I'm guessing Obey the Puck is up for best show on the network, isn't it?
No, there's actually no awards for the network this year since it was all so new. It was only a fourth quarter thing.
Or is Obey the Puck just going to happen to create its own award that day?
They might. You never know with Dan, but...
Yeah.
So tomorrow on the flagship here of the network, we're going to have hopefully three members of the Forgotten Ones for Cage of Death. I know already confirmed Matt Tremont will be joining us and Drew Blood, of course.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, the leader of... The Forgotten Ones, a big main event for Cage of Death coming up, and Cage of Death is a huge show, but we'll talk about more about that tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Justin, who are you?
I am Justin Clayton. I can be found on the Twitter at AWSOM82.
Before I get to Donnie, are you going to write a review this week? Should we be waiting for that?
I will try and get out a... I tried getting over my friends so I could get over to do a not really a review, but an overview of the remote play feature.
Okay.
I can give you something as far as from my house, but I wanted to give you the full experience, how it would react at somebody else's house on a strong network. Unfortunately, I was having connection issues. That may be it, but I've spoken with people online that have said that they haven't had connection issues when they're over someone else's house. So we'll see. I want to get something out, but I can't. I'm not going to guarantee anything.
Fair enough. I know how it is. I write for this website now, TerrasIndependentVoice.com, and I put out two articles very quickly. I put out a Ben 10 review and a review of the mid-season finale of The Walking Dead, which is the most popular article on that website in its history. I just want to get that out. But I'm behind. I have two movies that I have to review. And I'm behind because it just everything just piles up.
Yeah.
So I definitely know how it is. I mean, this movie that I have to review right now, it's called Torment. And it's an amazing flick. One of those Japanese horror films. It's from the director of The Grudge.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's a great movie. It's one of those, you know, Japanese horror movies. And I really want to get it out, but I just haven't found my voice yet. So, Donnie, who the hell are you?
I'm the D-O-N-N-I-E. I put the F-U back in fun, and I put the penis back in happiness. You can find me on Twitter at Donnie Warren, and on Facebook, Don Warren, and I'm around. I'll be here next time.
Yes, whenever that may be.
And happiness is a man named Steve.
So what?
Well, I'm, of course, the Dean of Credibility Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. Make sure you listen tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. It's our Cage of Death preview show. Should be a good one. Last week we had DJ Hyde giving us a little preview of things. This week it's Tremont and Blood as we talk about that main event, that very important main event. So with that, I'll talk to you tomorrow. These guys will talk to you who the hell knows when. But they'll talk to you soon. And, of course, we still have that great interview with the doctor, Milton Quibner. That will be coming up sometime in the new year. Of course, it's Christmas, so times are, what's the word I'm looking for?
Hectic.
Yes, very hectic. He has a flight issue. That's why he wasn't here tonight. However, he will be here in the new year. And I can't wait for that because it's going to be an amazing interview as we try to understand and placate ourselves to today's woman.
Today's woman.
But on that note, I'll see you tomorrow. And, of course, this weekend we have What's Wrong with Wrestling, the weekend edition. I don't know if I can make it to that because, Christ, I got so much going on. But anyway, have a good night, and talk to you tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Joe Egan and
thank
Jerry
you.
Rafferty were a duo known as Steeler's Wheel when they recorded this Dylan-esque pop bubblegum favorite from April of 1974 that reached up to number 5 as K-Billy Super Sounds of the 70s continues.